Hello, my name is James Hall. I'm one of the founding partners and the winemaker at Patson Hall Wine Company. And I invite you to come out and visit us in Sonoma. We just opened our new tasting room, the Sonoma House at Patson Hall, which is located on 8th Street East in the town of Sonoma. Looking forward to seeing you, and please come join us.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
Certainly one of the stalwart champions of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay in California is Pats and Hall. Joining us today on Wine and Dine is James Hall, who is one of the founders and really the winemaking genius behind Pats and Hall. Since 1988, he worked for several other people before he founded his own label. We are going to have a fun conversation today. I've been meaning to ask for a chat with Pats and Hall for quite some time. We're celebrating today also the fact that the two families that founded the winery just opened up their Sonoma House at Pats and Hall, featuring visitor amenities and a 12-acre estate vineyard. We thank you so very much for your time today, James.
Oh, well, it's great to be on with you, Lynn. Thanks for asking.
I would like to start by asking you, as a Chardonnay and a Pinot Noir specialist, I can tell by reading about you that you are especially focused in the science of winemaking, but you also had some mentors that pointed you in the fact that you had to marry the science and the artistic part of winemaking. So do you find yourself wearing two hats all the time, or are you wearing one hat that is constantly like 50-50 on these two parts?
I think the science is important in winemaking. Oenology is the nuts and bolts. It's a little bit like the engineering of the process, but it really serves as an accessory and a complement to experience. Winemaking is very much like being a chef. You might go to culinary school and you might understand the chemistry behind proteins and fats and all of that, but you don't necessarily apply mathematical formulas to how you make food.
Yeah.
And the same is with wine. It's really a natural process that's very intuitive at times, but certainly I keep my eye on the chemistry and the enological parameters, particularly the microbiology. But that's not really what informs my decisions about winemaking. I'm more interested in the flavors and textures and aromas and trying to capture the essence of the vineyard. And it's difficult to do that with oenology. It's really sort of art meets engineering.
Art meets engineering. I'm going to quote you on that one. I'm hearing more and more people say exactly what you said, that it's kind of like being a chef.
I think it's the similarities are quite apt. The thing I've always envied about chefs is you might take a particular approach with a dish and at the end, you go, well, that didn't work out very well, and you walk over and dump it in the trash.
Yeah, yeah.
With winemaking, it's a bit of a high-wire act. You either make it to the other side, or it's a colossal failure that cost everyone many, many thousands of dollars. So I think there's an inclination amongst winemakers to be very careful and to be somewhat, shall we say, risk-averse. After all, it takes a year to grow the grapes and a year to make the wine, and so there's a lot of time and energy and money on the line, but to me, there's also a need to take risk, and if all you're doing is covering all the possible things that could go wrong, I think you lose some of the energy and excitement of the wine. It's necessary to stand back and let the wine, you know, become what it's going to become. I suppose a little bit like raising a child. You know, you can't control every action that they take, and they're going to be exposed to risk and danger, but that also makes them more interesting.
Oh, I like that analogy also. How many different vineyards do you work with now for Chardonnay and for Pinot Noir, and are you always on the lookout for others?
Oh, yes. Currently, it's about 35. Now, in some cases, like the Duttons, we buy grapes from several non-contiguous vineyard blocks that are managed by the Dutton brothers. So the number of viticultural teams that I work with is not quite that large, but it's close. And yes, always on the lookout for new vineyards. We don't own any vineyards, which is a bit unusual. Some of my European friends kind of look sideways when I say we don't own any vineyards. And, of course, that's a strange concept in Europe. So we deal with small, family, independent grape growers. And there's a lot of them in Northern California, well, all over California and Oregon, which is a great blessing for us. And so new vineyards are very important to us. There's been a real push to planting new vineyards in California for the last 25 years, and there's a lot of really exciting sites that are growing tremendous grapes, and I want to be a part of it, so I'm always looking for new sites.
So when your grapes are in barrel and they're resting and you're not dealing with them hands-on on a day-to-day mm-hmm. basis, do you spend a lot of your time then outreach and connecting and reconnecting with your growers?
Yes, that's perhaps one of the most important parts of my job. Working with independent growers has a lot of advantages, but they are also spread out. And so there is a fair amount of logistical challenges to get to the individual vineyards and see how the season is developing, but also to coordinate the viticultural processes. So, that's a big step. Fortunately, we tend to work with very experienced viticultural teams. And so it's not really a case where I'm going out and going over the remedial basics. It's really about fine-tuning and adjusting the vineyard practices to accommodate the vintage. Every year has its little wrinkles, weather and such, throw small little variables at us. And so how to respond to those viticulturally and produce the most exciting grapes, that's the challenge. And so when I visit a vineyard and we speak, together, the viticulturist and I, it's really about how to modify, our standard practices to achieve something special for this vintage.
If I were to put myself in your place, I would think that that takes up so much of my brain energy. I wouldn't think that you're thinking about this constantly, even when you're trying to go to sleep at night.
Well, that is, I think, generally sort of one of the issues that comes up when you're a small family entrepreneur.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as being off the job. No, you're absolutely right. I live at a vineyard. I own a small 6-acre vineyard. And so, my idea of relaxing is to go out and walk in the vineyard, which sounds a little pathetic, frankly. But
no,
it's something I love.
As long as there are no rattlesnakes out there, I'm right there with you.
Oh, I'm fine with rattlesnakes. They gotta eat too.
Oh my gosh, you're very brave.
I would
imagine that you have to do a tremendous amount of juggling when you have all these individual lots from all these different growers coming in contiguous, within a 2 or 3 week period.
Yes, Chardonnay and Pinot are early ripening varieties. And in California, where occasionally we get some very hot weather in the fall, particularly September, October, it can get pretty exciting. It's like Grand Central Station, grapes from all over Northern California headed to our winery in Sonoma.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn challenging, but it's exciting. It's my favorite time of year. It's when we actually make wine.
Yeah.
And a decision that you take about when to pick or, what kind of barrels to put the wine in can be something you live with for years and years. And it's not always easy to look back and say, geez, why? What was I thinking?
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't turn back time. I think if we had a time machine, most winemakers would never get out of it. They would always go back and try to change something.
Well, like being a parent.
Exactly. Why did we go to Disneyland? We should have gone to Marine World.
But before we run out of time on this first segment here, talk to us about your custom punch-over device.
So during Pinot Noir fermentation, where the skins are fermenting in the tank, the fermentation produces CO2, and so the skins float to the top, and the skins contain the majority of the flavor and the color and tannins and most of the components that we think of as making red wine. So it's necessary to mix the juice and the skins together to get a more complete extraction. And so this device that I use has a pneumatic ram that has sort of like a foot on it, somewhat like a artificial foot, and in fact, in ancient times, people would have used their feet.
Okay.
And they, in France, they call it pigeage, which is essentially punching down. And so this ram pushes the skins down into the juice, a little bit like maybe taking a spoon and pushing the pasta down into the boiling water.
Okay.
And so at the same time, we use a pump and pull juice out of the bottom of the tank and pump it over the top of the tank. So as we're punching the cap down, there's also this juice flowing over the skins. And so it allows for a more complete extraction. It allows for darker colors, more tannin, more vineyard character to be brought into the wine. And so it's not a unique technique, but this little device that I came up with does both of those things at once. So it's quite efficient, and it's kind of fun to watch.
Have you patented that?
No, I haven't. Mm. Nope. I'll send anyone a picture they want.
Oh.
Happy to share it.
Okay. Well, I understand that you are an imaginative person and a perfectionist. We're going to go to a short break here. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with James Hall, founder and winemaker for Patson Hall. They are Chardonnay and Pinot Noir specialist, and they've just opened the Sonoma House at Patson Hall, where you can go and taste wines and so much more. We'll be right back.
My name is Alan Wright. I run Zephyr Adventures. We're the organizer of four different blogger conferences. And if you'd like to follow along on the Lifestyle Blogging Report, go to zephyradventures.com, click on the conferences link, go to any of the different conference websites, and you'll see a recent blog post with links to the Lifestyle Blogging Report.
Hello, I'm Joel Vincent. I'm the organizer of the Wine Blog Awards and co-founder of the Wine Bloggers Conference. And you can find all the information at www.wineblogawards.org.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.
I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
We are continuing our conversation with the one and only James Hall, the winemaker and one of the four founders of Pats and Hall. And they've just unveiled the new Sonoma House, where right now you can go and taste their vineyard-designated Chardonnays and Pinot Noirs paired with gourmet, savory panna cotta food compliments. And I was wondering, because when I think of panna cotta, I think of dessert. So, James, I was on the website. I was checking out what was going on at the chef's website who you're working with. And then it made sense to me where I see you've got maybe a panna cotta with some crab paired with Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so the panna cotta is savory. It's not sweet. So it's a bit like a cheese, really. So it adds texture and tends to be somewhat neutral, so it carries the flavors of adjunct, so crab or mushroom or some sort of savory component. So it's an interesting vehicle that adds sort of complementary flavors to the wine character.
I've never heard of candy cap mushroom. So there's a candy cap and beech mushroom. I bet that's to die for with Pinot Noir.
Yeah, that sort of musty, musky, mushroomy, it's not quite as powerful as, say, a porcini, but it has a definite sort of pungent, mushroomy, truffle note that really ricochets around when you have it with Pinot. It's a great fit.
Talk to people about the different options for coming to visit at the Sonoma House.
Well, we're open 5 days a week currently, so it's Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 4, and we can receive walk-in customers. So if you drive by our location on 8th Street East in the town of Sonoma, you can just walk right in. We then do tastings either at our tasting bar, where we have 6 wines, and it takes about an hour, and we start those on the hour. Or we have a by-reservation tasting that's more elaborate, that has the food compliments, where you sit in a private room, and a wine educator pours 8 different wines, and it's a way to explore our single vineyard wines more in depth. So we also have grounds and a garden, and it's really very pleasant. So I encourage people to stop by and see what's going on at Patson Hall.
And I understand that you've partnered with California Home and Design and 7x7 Magazine to host installations by artists and designers?
Well, we're working on that. As you know, the media world is very fragile, and unfortunately, California Home Design just went out of business.
Oh, no!
So we have another magazine called Lux Publications, which is really a great source of design and artistic input. And so our art installation is delayed slightly, but we're still working on it. But you know how this goes.
Well, James, if there was somebody listening who's an artist wanted to approach you about partnering up and displaying their installation, would you be open to that idea?
Well, certainly it'd be interesting to speak to them.
Okay.
I must say that we had pretty much handed this project off to our partners at California Home Design.
Oh,
and
yes.
So as we're sort of regrouping here and trying to find our way,
yeah.
It's a possibility.
Okay.
But I got to be honest, we haven't really decided what direction we're going to go in yet.
Okay. And on SonomaHouseBlog.com, people can see pictures of construction, and that's where I actually saw the pictures of the savory panna cotta with the wine tasting.
Yeah, it's a fun little blog. When we purchased the house in January of last year, it was quite a large home that the contractor had intended to sell immediately upon completion. So a speculation home, I guess, is what you would call it. But it was designed for lots of entertaining. So that happened to coincide beautifully with our need for a tasting room. So the blog shows all the pictures of us tearing everything out and rebuilding, and the furniture going in, and sort of a little, not quite day by day, but certainly week by week, photo log, diary of the construction process.
Mm. Before I lose you here today, I want to get you talking about the 25th anniversary video, which I remember as soon as it was emailed out, I went and watched it and had just, I thought it was a riot and a half. Talk to us about the story. And for listeners, I'll have a link up for everyone to watch this 25th anniversary video of Patson Hall. So how did you guys come up with that idea?
Well, it was a hard-won idea. We sat down several times, and we knew we wanted to do something for our 25th anniversary. And we'd looked at a lot of other videos, and, there was just an incredible number of helicopter shots over vineyards in the sunset and soaring music and sort of angelic themes of splendor of nature. And we realized that was all fine and dandy, but it wasn't really like our personalities. We're all a bunch of sort of wisecracking hams at heart. And we realized also that the history of the company is, not exactly typical. We started the company in 1988, and we each put $5,000 into a checking account and went sailing off to make Chardonnay. And so it was, I don't want to say it was, hopelessly romantic or ill-conceived, because we, did a lot of planning, and we carefully selected vineyards, and Donald, Ann, and I have been in the wine business for many years, but it was still a little naive, I think, to think that we were going to somehow make this a success. And we had very low expectations when we first started. We thought it would be a little project that we could have on the weekends, literally work at a winery during the week and, on Saturdays go to our little cellar and do our own thing. And so it started very humbly, but along the way, we've managed to bootstrap our way along until finally we were able to do this full time. And so we wanted to have a video that is tongue-in-cheek, went back in time and showed us more or less, hopefully, some of the processes and decisions and conversations we made. So it was really just to have a lot of fun, to be honest with you. We just wanted to ham it up and have fun ourselves, and maybe somebody would enjoy watching.
Oh, it was a lot of fun watching, a lot of fun watching. And when you founded Patson Hall, were you still working at Honig at that time?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So the company started when Donald Patz and I worked together at Flora Springs Winery. And I was the assistant winemaker, and he was the national sales manager. And so obviously we'd spend quite a bit of time at wine tastings and after work together. And, as employees tend to do, they look around and go, geez, what would I do differently? And we came up with a short list, and, you know, a couple of years later when I was offered the winemaking job at Honig Cellars, one of my principal roles there was to bring in custom crush work. So I was working with a lot of other wineries, Havens and Oakville Ranch, and the list goes on and on. And so I went to the Honigs and said, I'd really like to, you know, hire Patson Hall as a custom crush client. And they said, well, great, well, just don't make Sauvignon Blanc, which was their variety.
Right, right.
And we said, oh, well, we're going to make Chardonnay. And they said, oh, great, we're never going to make Chardonnay because we make Sauvignon Blanc. Go ahead. And so it became part of my employment contract that I got to, you know, bring in Chardonnay and make it at Honig Cellars. And so now we had the opportunity and the location, and then we all we needed was the money. And so we scraped that together, and off we went. The good ship Patson Hall set sail.
Wow. James Hall, we'd like to thank you so very much for your time this week on Wine and Dine, sharing all this history. As you say, well, this is 26th year you just celebrated, yes?
Yes.
26,
yes,
yep. James Hall, founder, winemaker, Pats and Hall. We will have all these links that we've discussed up for you today. You're listening to Wine and Dine. You're listening to iWine Radio.